I'm Derek Bird, editor of Fly Fusion magazine, and I am on the line today with Jim McLennan. How are you doing today, Jim?
I'm good, Derek.
So streamer fishing has been, you know, something that's been on my mind lately, and I thought that I'd maybe pick your brain for a few minutes about just some streamer techniques.
Well, I'll give you what I got.
So without going all like 90s fishing TV show on me, what kind of gear are you going to use?
Like when you're streamer fishing TV show. Oh, I see.
Yeah, does that make sense to you? Do you know what I'm referring to? So I don't want you to go, well, I use a...
You don't want it to be a commercial.
And then name the company. And yeah, I don't want an infomercial.
Yeah, I do know what you mean.
Okay.
For which kind of fishing? For the banging the bank
fishing.
Stuff? Or stream fishing?
Well, yeah, really for, and you know, we can talk about different methods, but really, you know, when we're using or when we're streamer fishing, generally, you know, generally what weight rod are you using?
Okay.
Yeah.
I would use a 6 weight, and I guess if it was, you know, specifically for fish bigger than 5 pounds or so, like if it was like the one TV episode we did with the bull trout, I think we're using 8 weights, just that they'll handle because that would be the largest fly you'd probably ever use would be a streamer for bull trout. It might be, you know, 5 inches long.
Yeah.
And,
yeah.
You know, a heavier line will carry that better. But for sort of conventional rainbow brown trout, cutthroat, you know, sort of streamer fishing, I would use a 6 weight. You know, the today's 6 weights are capable of, you know, have as much power and ability as, you know, 20 years ago's 8 weights probably.
Mm-hmm.
I'd probably use a 6 weight. 9 foot 6 weight would be my rod. And the line would depend a little bit on the condition, but certainly some sort of sink tip.
Right.
Most of the time, if you're really serious about it, and it could be a sink tip line, or it could be one of the, you know, there's a
like
number
a
of different types of poly leaders or the instant sink tip, which is like a piece of sinking line that you loop onto the end of your floating line. Those work pretty well. I like them quite a lot.
And like lengthwise, I know that when we were fishing for bull trout, we were using kind of a 10 foot sink tip, but the water was a little bit higher. And so, what would be like your preferred length?
Well, it depends an awful lot on the conditions. You know, they make them as short as, well, I think 4 feet maybe, with really fast sinking 4 feet, and that's probably not enough for a lot of conditions. And you can get them up to 30 feet long. But I'd probably want 10 to 15 feet. And I think the one mistake people sometimes make when they're, you know, buying a sink tip line for streamer fishing is they don't get the fastest sink rate as they should.
Right.
Because,
yeah.
You know, that that when they started out, they had sinking line. When they first invented sinking line, it was just sinking. And then they had a fast one. And a super fast one, and then they kept making them sink faster and faster and faster till the point where if you bought what was described as a fast sinking line, it was about the second slowest.
Right.
You know, because they kept making them sink faster. So you want to get something that sinks pretty quick, and I would, if possible, try and talk to somebody who fishes the same types of places you do, and see what they think. But you know, I think they still designate sink rates with numbers of type 1, type 2, type 3, all that sort of thing.
I would
think type 4 or something probably.
Right, and inches per second as well.
Yeah, that's right.
Inches per second, I think, you know, when you're talking about, I think like kind of 7 inches per second, you're up to a very fast thing.
Boy, that's pretty fast, yeah.
That's really fast, yeah.
And the thing that... The reason you need that is because the line is drifting in the current, and its sink time is limited by how long it takes to make that drift. You know,
yeah,
in a lake, if you want to get the fly deeper, you just wait longer before you retrieve it. But
right,
by the time this one tightens up and starts to swing, that's as deep as it's going to be. So
yeah, exactly. And like you said, it'll come up too when it starts to swing as well.
Yeah.
So if you're fishing for a trout, you're more of a 6 weight. You feel that that'll handle the sink tip and the flies, like the heavier flies. Now, here's a question: do you adjust your casting stroke at all when you're throwing a sink tip or when you're throwing a when you're throwing a larger streamer?
Yeah, you have to a little bit because you've now got, you know, the weight of the fly line, which is, you know, traditionally or conventionally, that's the weight that you cast, but you've now got that plus the weight of the fly that's on the end of the leader and also the air resistance of that fly.
Mm-hmm.
And the other thing here, this is a little bit off what you asked, but I'll get back to that.
That's okay.
There's certain types of streamers that I know work really well that I don't like to fish with, and those are ones with a lot of rabbit fur on them.
Okay.
They have great movement in the water, but that water stays in the fly when you pick it up.
It does.
And it's like casting a wet sock. And so I think marabou.
Do you cast many of those, Jim?
Wet socks? Oh, of course, I've compared them, and that's how I know that they're similar. But I'd rather throw a fly. You know, marabou has good motion in the water, but the water comes out of it when you pick it up to make your next cast. And the other thing, I think that's one of the things that makes the Clouser minnow type fly so good, is that it's a properly tied Clouser is quite sparse,
right?
Because it's tied with bucktail. And it really doesn't even, it just basically bucktail and lead eyes at the front. It has weight, and it doesn't hold any water when you pick it up. So you can actually you'll have a fly that sinks faster than a rabbit strip streamer and casts easier. So anyway, that's, if I was fishing 4-inch long rabbit leeches or double bunnies or something like that, I'd probably want more than a 6-weight. But because
right.
I don't do that,
good point. Yeah.
I can get away with the 6. Now, and as far as changing your casting stroke, you have to open up the loop a little
thanks
bit.
Thanks for getting back, by the way. Like,
that
was a good diversion, and now you're back. So
now I'm back. You didn't. You thought I was going to follow that rabbit trail and not know where I was.
Yeah, that's right. And was that a purposeful pun? Following a rabbit trail? You were talking about
it was a completely accidental one.
Accidental. Okay, I'll forgive you then.
Okay, good. the casting, you need to open up your loop so you don't run the risk of a tailing loop, which and that risk increases a little bit because of the weight of the fly, which makes it want to drop a little as it's going forward. So opening up the loop, you just need to move the rod through a little bit of an arc. Normally for conventional pure fly casting, the rod tip should move in a straight line.
Right.
But if you do that with any sort of weighted fly on the end of your leader, you're running the risk of a tangle. So you need to open
right.
that loop up by just going a little farther before you stop the rod on both the back cast and the forward cast. And, minimize the number of false casts you make. And the other thing that people sometimes do, this is maybe more of a thing with weighted nymphs and indicators and stuff, is that they're afraid that this is going to hit them in the head in the forward cast, and that fear is justified. But one of the ways to at least minimize the chance of that is to make sure that you don't underpower the forward cast. People are inclined to be a little timid with the forward cast because they think, well, if that's going to hit me, I'd rather it wasn't going 100 miles an hour.
Right,
So, but if you do that, if you make a timid forward cast, then gravity will have more of an effect on the fly, and it'll drop during the forward cast and sometimes drop, right about to head level. Whereas if you keep it going fast, and it'll stay high until it gets way out in front of you.
Okay.
So that's the other thing that can help with that sort of stuff.
Well, that's some good advice, especially,
okay.
Well, especially if, if you don't want to be hooking yourself or a guide.
Yeah.
It's really good advice.
Yeah. Who of us wants to do that?
Yeah. Yeah. Not me for sure. I mean, I have hooked myself before.
Okay. Have I hooked you?
But there have been a few times, and I don't know if we should, let the public know this because they definitely edit this out, but there have been a few and only minimal times where we've been in a drift boat together or something and we've ended up tangled. But we'll blame that on the wind.
I don't remember any of those occasions.
Well, because they're so few and far between, right?
That's right.
So
that's right.
I think, and I'll take responsibility because I am, I probably saw a fish rise in a direction that I shouldn't have been casting and probably switched directions without coordinating.
And you're probably in the front seat.
Well, I don't know about that.
Well, just No. You're generally pretty gracious about that.
Generally. There was once where I think I more forcefully took
it. I recall something about that.
Yeah. And I felt guilty about it, actually. But the next time we fish together, I think you can take the front seat.
Okay. The old guy seat. Okay.
The old guy seat.
It's got to be good. Being old's got to be good for something.
That's right. Okay. Well, one more thing that I wanted to cover before we hop off here, this discussion is
is that
like slang or something? Hop off this discussion.
Oh, hop off. I don't know. Yeah, I thought you said hob off, and I'd never heard.
Oh,
that.
Okay. That probably goes back to the old guy thing, though, right? Not being able to hear.
What?
What?
Who is this?
streamer types. Do you want to just give a quick rundown of what we're actually imitating when we're throwing streamers?
Oh, yeah.
Yeah.
We probably should have started with this, but...
We probably should have.
Streamer is supposed to look like... you think of it as imitating little fish. I would also, I guess, throw leeches in there.
Right.
Because of the size and shape that leeches are. So if it's a dark, wiggly streamer, you might be imitating a leech. But generally, you think of it as imitating little fish.
Mm-hmm.
And again, when I'm... what I do a lot these days is sort of instructing fly fishing. Most people don't give their streamer as much motion as I think they should, although you should definitely vary the retrieve to find out what the fish want on a particular day. In general, if you just keep in mind, what does a little fish do? And you know, they don't hang around. They're not sort of leisurely, casual swimmers. They generally swim in these little short, little darting movements, and that's what you should try and do with your fly. And so,
right.
And there's think little fish when you're fishing streamers.
Yeah, and there's lots of there's lots of good imitations out there. Lots of good sculpin imitations.
Oh yeah.
Or smaller whitefish imitations, or whatever type of minnow really you want. There's lots of good imitations for that.
I guess my philosophy on the fly is and I may be wrong about this, but I'm not too sold on the really slight differences between one streamer and another.
Right.
And whether this is imitating, a female whitefish with the color scheme it has in September. I like to have light-colored flies. Light, I mean white or, I don't know, cream colored, and I really like tan colored streamers and dark ones. But dark can be brown or black or olive.
Okay, you've really covered the gamut there.
Well, I want to have both ends covered at least.
Right.
I guess what I'm getting at is if they'll take if they're eating a black streamer, a black woolly booger, say, and you run out of black ones, but you have a dark olive one, I think you're probably still going to be okay.
Right.
There seem to be times when they don't want the dark one, but they'll take a white one or a really pale colored one. And I'd like to have both ends of the spectrum covered. I don't worry too much whether I have 19 different shades of olive, that kind of thing. But
yeah.
I do believe in the big differences from one streamer to another, and the size of the streamer. Sometimes they want great big ones. Sometimes they don't want.
Right.
You'll chase but not eat the big ones. So.
Yeah.
Yeah.
All right. Well. That was thanks for joining me today, Jim. That was an enjoyable conversation about streamers. I mean, I enjoyed chatting with you about it.
Well, that's one.
You won me over, Jim.
One person,
That was great.
All right.
Okay, well, we will chat again in the near future about some other techniques and maybe we'll chat about nymphing next time.
Okay.
Because sure. I know that you absolutely love indicators. So.
Yeah, we can talk about that.
So we'll see. We'll see if we can draw maybe why you have such a deep burning hatred for indicators. But we'll. did I overstate it, Jim?
Just slightly.
Okay. Thanks for joining Jim and I today as we chatted about streamer fishing, and we'll be on the line again at some point in the near future chatting about other techniques. So thanks, Jim, for joining me today.
No problem, Derek. It was fun.